Jillian, can you explain the beautiful
TMI?
Can you explain the beautiful four-way folded flyer we got in our green sacks?
The one that's obsolete. That one with a big Sharpie. So, I mean, you guys can still utilize it. Like, so say you come in contact with someone who has a desire to learn about the Forgotten Initiative, but they're not in your area. Or you're going to, someone has invited you to a church to speak at that church, but it's not in your area. And that's okay, and you can connect them with us as well, but we want to support you in doing that because we are a national organization. And so if we can work together in that, that's going to be helpful. And so you can still utilize that for things like that, and we can give you more to do that and help you with things like that.
Nice.
I remembered what I was going to say.
Okay. Oh, wait. Did I answer the question?
Yeah. Okay. So the churches, that's another reason you don't want to go for like 15 churches. You want to, if you want to keep up with your churches, start small, build relationships with the people, the churches you have, keep those relationships grounded, and as you grow,
yes.
You don't want to just, it doesn't have to be wide, it's quality.
And then you can get more team members on, and we'll then help you to support those churches well in that way.
And I believe that was important.
I believe it was too.
Very well.
The Lord brought it back to you.
All right, this is for Jason and Jamie, and we may have already touched on it, but I'm going to ask it again. Jason talked about this earlier in one of his sessions about tangible resources. What would be some tangible resources TFI could offer for the advocates to bring to the churches besides just who TFI is information? So I was thinking about this. One, like the RAC cards are great for specific ways. Like those you wouldn't want to give, obviously, to someone not in your area because it's saying the 12 tangibles and it's giving all those. So that's helpful, but I was thinking maybe we could design something that's basically just trying to explain to the church, like, this is how we want to help you. Like, we are not here to have you, we're not asking you to help us, we want to help you, like in big letters. Anyway, that's all I got. That's as far as I got in my brain, but I was thinking we'll talk about it. I mean, so it will be more like trying to explain to them like something that we are here to help you. And then, is that what you mean by that?
Yeah, and it's bringing them turnkey resources that are self-explanatory, that don't require you being there walking through all this stuff with them. And some of it is identifying, and you guys would know best as you're hearing things from churches and church leaders, what do you sense is the pushback? What are they thinking, and where do you find that thinking to be flawed, and how can you create resources that immediately, right out of the gate, help them to begin to think differently about this? An example could be something like, well, we didn't show a picture of this, we didn't in the right context for it, but I use a lot this picture of a family with a circle around it and other families. Because what that does is it visibly shows church leaders something that is contrary to what they're thinking. They're thinking we're going to come in and say every family in your church, if they really love Jesus, should bring a kid into their home. And now what we're showing them is actually most people won't. But that doesn't mean they don't have a role to play. And there's a sigh of relief on church leaders' shoulders when they hear, okay, good. So I don't have to say these certain things. No, please don't say, if you really love Jesus, you'll adopt every orphan in Africa to your church.
Yeah.
We're changing the messaging. We're showing you how it's different than what you think it is. And so for you guys to identify, for your particular purposes of TFI, How can we right out of the gate help church leaders think differently about what we do and see it differently than maybe the way they see it in their head?
Well, and go ahead.
So whatever you create, can that be on the back of that?
Well, and really, we have like if you look on your website resource page.
For some chicken.
On your website resource page on the website, there are, you know, we have the RAC cards that give like the little bit, like the 12 tangibles or first response little bits. And then always remind your churches, we have the full PDFs of everything. So it's not just journey bags, it's how to put together a journey bag. It's not just home safety kits, it's how to put together a home safety kit. Or Project Sunshine, there's a whole guide on, is that kind of what you're talking about? Or is it still different?
It'd be like the mentoring curriculum type stuff.
Yeah,
too,
we have the book, we can have
the
them. Yeah, we could give them the book. Yeah.
We actually had a pastor call us and ask us how he could wrap around a foster family in his church. And I was like, oh my goodness, this is like a switch. And it was so amazing. And the more him and I talked, the more we realized so many pastors already have families in their church who are doing it. And it's kind of like, they're weird. We don't know what to do with them. They don't really fit. Do we take them meals? Do we do that? So maybe even a resource that would say, you know, with one that we have a relationship already, like you probably already have families in there who are doing it. Here's a way for you to serve them.
Yeah,
yeah.
You got that.
So
you sent it to me. Like there's a PDF or some sort of electronic file that you sent to me because I had the same thing happen. I was like, where do I send her?
Are you talking about the Family Serving Families model?
No, the How to Serve Foster Families.
Was,
like,
that are already in your church.
That's
like,
was that from Katie or was that from the Merrilee?
Merrilee. 8 Ways
okay.
to Serve.
Oh,
yeah.
And I think,
in your church.
So, and correct me if I'm wrong, but TFI really is it's a bridge to help the church engage outside of their church, right?
Or it can also be in their church, yeah. But
where's the primary focus?
Agency.
Yeah. So, I think there's an opportunity for a lot of churches. The question they're asking is, we have these families, we don't know what to do with them.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
yeah.
We want to connect you with. We want you to serve agencies, but we have these families, we don't know what
right.
to do with them. So it may be the case that sometimes, in order to get to where you want to get with the mission of TFI, you're going to have to serve these churches. It's slightly outside of the lane of the focus
mm-hmm.
of TFI,
mm-hmm.
but it helps funnel them into the
Absolutely.
Focus of TFI.
Yeah,
this like support group, like a support group.
How do you
yeah,
take care of your people
yeah.
internally
Absolutely.
And then
wrap around
and then mobilize externally?
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's what came out of this is they are now having a support group that they're hosting,
mm-hmm.
and it's a family from like 12 to 15 other churches,
mm-hmm.
and so that has now given me 12 to other 15 churches
yep.
who have very similar things, so it's been a really
yeah,
neat connection
awesome.
Point,
yep.
very cool.
but they're still serving their body, too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Were you going to say something, Katie?
I was just going to say, because ultimately, that is still our mission. I mean, if it's a
oh,
church,
yes,
it's your community, those are your foster families,
yeah.
because I know Kristen and I have had several meetings with churches recently, and they would see the families, and they would be like, well, we want to get involved because we see this family sinking.
Yes.
And we were like, okay, well, let's first turn to how
yeah.
can we equip you to love your family
mm-hmm.
here? And like that's, you know, from that,
yes.
let's
yep.
hear their needs and then go out
right.
from here.
Well, because
yeah.
you can't ask a church to say, get fully on board with foster care, recruit foster families in your church if you don't have a support system in place.
Right.
I mean, they need that support. And so you need to start with that support first, getting those families that are already there, setting them up for success so that these other families know that they will be supported and cared for.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what it sounds like a little bit, some of you guys are really doing that well. So this might be an opportunity for, like, Katie, you who have done that, say, hey, let's do this. To maybe share with the rest, this is what we took
yes.
into church, and this is how we coached them or consulted them how to do that. I think that could be a really powerful
mm-hmm.
thing. If maybe whatever you've used, you could share that, and then all of you guys would have access to that.
No, well, we actually, because they, and this just recently started happening, just because I think I shared with our group, we just in the last few months have suddenly had churches calling us regularly, saying, how can we get involved? And by mercy, through our church saw us sinking when we went through our really dark period
mm-hmm.
and began just saying, how can we meet you? So that has just been something, you know, that I've just seen. And a lot of our churches only have, we don't have church, except for a couple large churches.
Mm-hmm.
Most of our churches just have one or two foster
mm-hmm.
families, you know? And
yeah.
so how can you begin, you know, things like, I took it and I just was like, kind of like you said, the 8 ways to love a foster family, 8 ways to serve the birth family that's
mm-hmm.
visiting your church or whatever. You know, the meals, and then we do meals, and then we really encourage like a church to kind of come up with a buddy for the kid,
mm-hmm.
especially if they're older. Like, because our church started, each child had a buddy that would come, an older grandma that would come and take them for ice cream and then tutor them. Because we have 6 to 9 kids in the home, it's just, you can't love that child. I mean, you just need more of you, you know. And that was the greatest gift we possibly could have ever gotten. for our kids just to see that. And then, or even the youth would start writing our kids and just noticing them. You know, just simple little things for your kids to know they're noticed outside of you. And that's what we kind of encourage the church, instead of just being like, oh, that's that family that's singing because they adopted. You know, because that's kind of what the family becomes.
That's what we're talking about is, for the church, the leaders that are, you're meeting with that leader under the pretense that probably because they've accepted your invitation, they're spending time with you, they probably care. It's just, mm-hmm. how do we care?
Yeah.
Show them resources on this simple things. Oh, of course we can do that. That's easy.
Yeah.
You really can. And it helps them to shift their mind a little from this, it's real big, hard, overwhelming problem. Mm-hmm. Well, but there's some real simple things that you can do.
Mm-hmm.
And they oh, yeah, this is great. Thank you. And that's a bridge into mm-hmm. further relationships.
Absolutely. All right, next question for Jamie. This is from the viewpoint of the advocate. When growing your team, how do you pinpoint which area to start with if you're starting from no coordinators?
Well, I think listen to your agencies. What are they requesting more often? I mean, if it's first response often is a good one to start because they're asking you for tangible things, and that can get very overwhelming very quickly, because as soon as you start meeting tangible needs, they ask more and more and more.
Yeah.
So I think first response is a really great one. And just so you guys know, I mean, remember there's referral forms. You know, we really want to have all the requests go through agencies, so you're not just having a family come and ask you for the stuff. That may work in some cases, but it's very easy to lose the boundary there and get asked over and over and over. And so having the agency as a little bit of a safety net helps. And so using that referral form. Anyways, I think first response is probably or maybe it's like a journey bag coordinator, or just kind of that. It could even just be just a general coordinator to help volunteers, you know. It's really kind of based on what you're finding is you're getting, where you're feeling bogged down the most, really.
All right, we only have a few more minutes left, so let's try to get through these. Jillian, TFI created an all-in-one graph at one point showing how everyone can do something. Can TFI somehow reproduce that all-in-one graph?
No, TFI didn't produce it. All-in-one, or Frontier produced it.
Oh. Oh. Oh, excuse me.
It's
all
the
in orphan here. Oh, okay. Can you?
That's what Jason was talking about.
Which one is that?
With the circles.
Circles, lawn care. It says lawn care, babysitting.
He says we can talk.
Thank you.
For free.
You can buy his book. It's in his book.
Jamie, about mentoring, what kind of training do you provide? Do you set parameters like how often to meet, duration of the relationship, and how do you make the matches?
I'm going to let Jillian actually say, because she's good at this.
Great.
Yeah, so if you want to do mentoring in your area, we do a train the trainer first. So I would train you, get you all the resources, and we go over all those specifics. We encourage people to meet weekly. If they can't do that, then bi-weekly. Commit for a year. Prepare them. Foster care is not normal mentoring. You may randomly, I mean, you have to go through the background checks. I mean, all the many different things.
Yeah.
Did I answer all the questions?
Yeah, so the actual training for the mentor then is, you know, it's all about like why kids come into foster care, explaining the foster care community, and then going into mentoring. And we partner with the Mentoring Project, and so they have been so huge at helping us help you guys and equip you, and that's the book we give you. So when you start mentoring, we give you an operation manual plus as many mentor manuals as you need to hand out to your people. And so, but yeah, Jillian would walk through all of that with you, so you're very equipped, and you really need a coordinator to do that, to do mentoring. It's big, and it's kind of a lengthy process to get started. It can be
time consuming,
yeah, but it's a really important one.
Okay. We have two questions left, and these are more directed, I think, for the group as a whole. I mean, definitely if the panel has something to add, please do so. The first one is, has anyone ever sponsored a fun event for families? And if so, what did they look like?
Did an ice cream social last month, I think.
For foster families?
Did you get good turnout?
We do quarterly birthday parties for the foster children.
Okay. Where do you have them?
There is a gymnastics gym in town that donates their space.
Wow.
And they set aside 2 hours for us to have the gym. And so we invite the families that have foster families or foster children or bio children with birthdays in that quarter. And then we had a gazillion gifts donated at the beginning of the year. And so each child gets a gift, and then we have refreshments and they play in the gym.
That's amazing.
Yeah, we found that, it's not about me, but I'm gonna say what we found in our area that is we live in a small-ish community. We have a small-ish number of families and children. That community is the biggest need, like for these families to connect to each other where they don't have to explain anything, they don't have to make excuses about their crazy children. And so it's such a safe place that we make it so that it's hosted really well, and the parents can literally just sit and talk to each other, and their kids can be raving lunatics and no one cares. And it is so refreshing for those families, just those couple of hours. And we've had, like, we've even had the skating rink offer to do a night, the bowling alley. Like, it's hard to get that stuff together always, but it has been really well received by our little community. They really need that.
They actually have a brunch on Saturday.
You are crazy.
You are crazy. Yeah, but it's a covered dish, like everybody bring your dish and everybody can eat brunch.
So where do you have it?
One of the local churches has volunteered their space.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And that's another great way to get a church involved. Just say, hey, can we use a room?
Yeah.
You know.
Lunches, like
worker appreciation
lunches.
Yeah, the churches.
I mean, anytime that you can bring especially non-believers into a church. I mean, it's helping them see the church in a different light. It's helping that church reach out more, you know, provide their people, different things like that.
Yeah.
And I would encourage anytime you do anything with the church that you celebrate that church in all the ways that you can. Mm-hmm. You tag them on Facebook. You let people know that this church did this.
Yeah.
Because they certainly appreciate, everybody wants free PR, good PR, especially for stuff like that. And when other churches see that this church is hosting a foster parent hangout deal, you want to create this sense of
FOMO.
And there's already a spirit of competition among our churches, and that's not going to go away on this side of heaven. But if we can at least leverage it for good. If it's going to be there, it's going to be there. So let's use it for good purposes.
FOMO is fear of missing out, by the way. I have it.
Terribly bad.
All right. Again, amongst ourselves, this is going to the logistics of storing items. All of the journey bags, TFI supplies. Is anybody renting space? Is anybody asking churches to help? Does anybody have any?
We have two spaces. We have one that is a rental that is paid for by a church. It's like in one of the
storage
facilities, you know, where you pull up the door. And then we have another one where we just got moved out of our house. Praise Jesus. another church had donated to them a container that goes on the back of like a big rig. And they had one of their metal people in their church that does metal. I can't speak. The metal person.
Iron worker.
Iron worker, whatever. Yeah, he cut doors and made deposit drop boxes. And they've outfitted it to where it's now a donation drop center. And
so cool. So Charleston's where it's at, apparently.
My dad helps a ton. So he gets all the men rallied behind.
Well, and how fun for those guys, you know, these men to be able to do something, that is benefiting.
Yeah. Does anybody else have any?
We do. We've got a space in a church. They have our church has a modular that they're no longer using for preschool, and so they allow us to take the entire space and sort of journey bags and beds and tangibles and all sorts of stuff.
And I'd encourage you guys, I mean, for us, we're in a position where we have a business that we have a warehouse and put stuff in. But I would think, you know, there's a lot of Christian businessmen that would love to help.
Yeah.
And once again, just don't know how.
Yeah.
And something like that, I think, don't realize there's a need for sure.
Right.
And I would about guarantee you, you probably have friends, you know, at your church that would be like, oh, yeah, I'd love to give you some space, you know, you can set up.
Which is very nice to get out of your garage and out of your house and to put on the Facebook to say, you know, just deliver it here. You can put the address out there. You don't have to worry about putting your own address out. What I've been just doing now is put the address out for Cape Sanitary, and then I just say, would you mind just texting me when it's there? Or they will just tell me too, but sometimes we'll do it that way. Mm-hmm.
All right, we've got 5 minutes before it's time to break. Does anybody have any other questions for our panel or for the group as a whole?
I would say with storing in like big places like that, be careful with food. Because I know at Cape Sanitary we've had issues with mice, so that's why there's no food allowed in journey bags.
We had very holy journey bags.
We had to take out journey bags and formula when we moved to a storage facility. Like we had to, it was a rule. So now like we'll have a set, like formula scheduled DHR and the worker will just add the formula.
Yes. And I mean, even with like those plastic containers, I mean, they just get it anyway. It's just, you know.
And another thing to do is when you get the journey bags and stuff, look through them.
Yes.
Quality assurance. Honestly, we didn't used to do that at the beginning. And when we started doing it, we're like, appalled sometimes. This is like, it was junk or it was like
socks and toddler pajamas.
Or old, like crusty food. I mean, just, so you need to just quality assurance. Like, that's our job as TFI to make sure.
Like we check everything.
Yes. Like our agencies won't have us wrap the gifts because they want to make sure they're okay first. I mean, first response, you want to make sure that the furniture you're delivering is good, everything. I mean, checking with that family, how did the church go if they delivered it? I mean, we want to make sure we're serving
quality
them well because we're their advocates.
Yeah.
No one else is advocating for them the way we are.
Because we had that happen with the first response. Someone delivered a bed, and when I followed up with the agency, they're like, actually, it was really, we couldn't use it. And I'm like, oh, no, but at least I knew that we could go recruit another bed, you know. Yeah. But some people just want to use it as a drop-off. And don't be afraid to say, no, we don't accept that. Mm-hmm. We don't accept used clothing. That's Goodwill.
Or
you know. Or
your
what?
Attic full of stuff.
Right.
Yes.
We're not trying to vet it out. I'm like, they'll say, you know, well, I have a stack that I'm going to consign and a stack for this and that. And I'm like,
I think
we're good. Because like, I know you're going to give me the stack that's maybe on the garbage.
Exactly.
I'm like, I think we're full on that side.
We want quality. Because we don't want these kids or whoever's receiving it to feel like, oh, yeah, well, it's another leftover. Or a tag, the State Farm, you know, everything with the company logos. One of the journey bags had all, like, company logo stuff. It's like, well, man, you were really...
Come on.
I'm sorry, Chris.
Chris, what are you doing?
Just kidding. He's retired. It's okay.
All right, do we have any more questions?
Does anybody do feminine products in their backpacks?
Just
got an agency. Mm-hmm. And what age do you start them? Because...
Well, we do like, sometimes it's like 13 and up. Or we'll have like just boxes
that
will
give
the agencies. Yeah.
And sometimes the agencies have even requested, we would love the journey bags, but if you can actually put the stuff out individually, so we give them the bag and the stuff, but they have if they have storage area, they can go pick and put it in. Some of them like that. It's really about what they want and what's helpful to them, not just how we do it.
Yes. What works for your area?
Ours started out that way, and that's how they wanted it. And then we started slipping in a few packed bags, and they were like, oh, this is better.
Good. Yeah,
okay.
Something they don't know.
Yeah. But it was
I
want to
say one other thing, because just a reminder of going in as their advocate, there was in our area, so we're great with DCFS. Whenever we come, they just open the door, and I go back to the storage room, and I take inventory and figure out what's all there. But they said, so now they'll have, like, people have dropped off stuff. They're like, by the way, someone just dropped this off, not TFI stuff. I'm like, that's right, I'll just take it back out. Or someone dropped off backpacks, brand new backpacks, but then he came to the thing, and he said, I have backpacks to drop off to you, and
they're like, oh, we already work actually with this other organization. We don't really need them, but thank you. And he's like, well, I was just told to drop them off here. Mm-hmm. And so I went in and I picked them up and took them back. Yep. But it's like, you know, that's the whole idea that we don't want, and that sometimes the church does. Mm-hmm. Well, this is for you, and this is what we're giving you, and we don't really care if you want it or not, because we think you want it.
It wasn't a church that did that.
It wasn't. It was a random organization.
It can still happen.
Yeah. But now we can use those bags to fill them, get people to fill them. So we can use them, but they didn't want it there. Yeah. So just keep them in mind. You're their advocate. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, thank you to Jillian, Jamie, and Jason, the JJJ. All the great.